In Act 3, we're on the banks of the Nile, on a moonlit night, with one of the temples of Isis close by. The priests are heard in the temple, praying to Isis. A boat arrives, bringing with it Amneris and Ramphis. He's bringing her to the temple. It's the night before her marriage. She's there to pray that Radames will give her all of his heart. Ramphis asks that she pray until morning. He will stay with her. As they enter the temple, Aida cautiously approaches the riverbank. It's here that she's asked Radames to meet her. She wonders what to say to him, knowing that if he's coming to say a final farewell, she'll have no choice but to throw herself into the Nile. That's the only way she'll find peace. These words lead into her aria, one of the gems of Verdi soprano writing, at the same time one of his toughest pieces, O Patria Mia, O My Homeland. We're always so concerned about whether the soprano manages the treacherous high C that we don't pay enough attention to the text, which is very beautiful. In her nostalgia for Ethiopia, Aida recalls the sky, the meadows and flowers, the valleys. She believes that she'll never see any of this ever again. It's amazing to think that this aria wasn't even written for Cairo. Verdi created it for the La Scala premiere. We can only imagine the extraordinary voice of his beloved Teresa Stoltz, the first soprano to sing it. Aida's surprised to see her father. How he manages to escape his captors and rejoin her at the riverbank is something we're not told, but never mind. He's worried for her. He knows she and Radames love each other and that Aida is in Amneris' power. He believes she can win this battle and that she'll see her homeland with Radames as her bridegroom. Amonasro reminds her of the destruction that Ethiopia has endured. His army's waiting to hear his orders. Everything is ready and victory is certain. All they need to know is what path the enemy will be taking. And this is what Amonasro is asking his daughter to find out from Radames. She's appalled. "No, never," she cries. Amonasro now explodes. "Then, you Egyptian armies, reduce all our cities to ashes and dust," he cries. This is bad enough for Aida to hear, but it gets worse. "Rivers of blood drown all our ruined and beaten cities. Mark me, shades of the dead are rising. All of them point at you and cry, 'Destroyer of our land!'" Aida screams out, "Pity, father!" And now the worst of all. "Do you not see your mother's hand raised to curse you? You're no longer my daughter. You're the slave of Pharaoh." Here it's easy to feel a bit sorry for the singer, simply because he's up against a genuine orchestral barrage. Verdi also puts much of the line in a fairly low range, and many are the Amonasros who simply shout through the whole episode. Fortunately, Piero Cappuccilli in this recording sings the written notes. Scorro
vedi, ai negri vortici si levano gli estinti, che additano e si gridano. Leva le sparne braccia, sul capo tuo levò. Tua ladrelle, avvisala, chi vuole dire?
Aida falls on her knees before her father, begging him to pity her, not to curse her. I'll be worthy of you and of my country, she sobs. Amonasro relents, telling her, think of how your conquered, suffering people will return to life only through you. And he hides in the palm trees as Radames appears. He's ardent towards Aida from the first moment, but she's sad, even a little cold. What hope is left? You're going to marry Amneris tomorrow. But he doesn't care about that. The gods know he loves only Aida. With the pride of a princess, she snaps back at him. Don't stain your name with such a lie. I loved a hero. I couldn't love a liar. Do you imagine you'd escape the charms of Amneris? Escape the king's will, the people's wishes, and the priests in their fury? Radames is so intoxicated by his love for Aida that he tells her what he expects to happen. He expects to be victorious in the battle, and when he's won, he'll kneel before the king, reveal his true feelings for Aida, and be rewarded with her love. How naive can you get? Aida's the realistic one here. You don't fear the rage of Amneris? Her revenge will fall on me, my father, on everyone. The only way things can work out for them is to escape. This is a bit of a shock to Radames. Now Aida takes the reins of this dialogue. She starts to turn on her feminine charms, luring him into the idea of fleeing what she calls the oppressive heat of this barren desert. She wants him to accompany her to the land of the virgin forests and fragrant flowers. That's where they'll find true ecstasy. But to abandon his country, his gods, the place where he first loved Aida, Radames wonders how he could do it. She continues to woo him with her plan. Before, we saw the noble Aida, the desperate, proud princess. Now, this is as close as we'll get to Aida the seductress. She succeeds through sheer sensuality. This is also probably the most intimate moment of the entire opera. How cleverly Verdi uses a limited vocal range at the start of each of these magical phrases, followed by the slow rise to the sustained and very, very quiet high G. Radames is powerless to resist. When Radames doesn't respond positively, Aida insists that he doesn't love her, and she orders him to the altar with Amneris. But he proclaims, no, never. And finally, he agrees, we'll flee together across the desert. Here misfortune rules forever. There the heavens smile with love. She seconds that emotion, and they launch into a classic operatic moment, bursting forth with their excitement at the idea of being together. If Verdi had been writing this decades earlier, it would have been a moment for a jaunty umpa-style cabaletta. This episode in Aida is more compactly structured, but ultimately just as effective. Now Aida pops the question. By what pass can we avoid the troops of marching soldiers? The road we've chosen for my men to attack will be deserted until morning. And what road is that? Asks Aida. The gorges of Napata. Now Amonasro bursts forth from his hiding place. The gorges of Napata! There will I post my men! He reveals his true identity, not just Aida's father, but also king of Ethiopia. Radames instantly realizes what he's done. You? Amonasro? You? The king? No, this isn't true. It's a nightmare. Aida tries to calm him, and Amonasro actually tells Radames Aida's love will bring him a throne. But all Radames can do is cry out, I'm dishonored. For you, I've betrayed my country. Amonasro urges Radames to follow him and Aida to where the Ethiopian soldiers are waiting, and soon he'll have everything he's longed for. But suddenly, Amneris emerges from the temple. Traditor! Traitor! She cries. Amonasro attempts to stab her, but Radames comes between them. Ramphis appears, calls for guards, and Radames urges Aida and her father to get away. As Ramphis orders them followed, he takes Radames' sword from him, and Radames declares, Priest, I'm in your hands. This is the phrase a tenor lives for in this opera. The finale, with big high A's that he can hold without competing with the orchestra. It's a moment, though, that takes every bit of steel in the singer's voice, a kind of all-out, brazen defiance.